Our Old Testament scripture reading today is from Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse.
Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long.
Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways.
According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way.
All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant.
For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great.
Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land.
The Lord confides in those who fear him.
He makes his covenant known to them.
My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare.
Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish.
Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins.
See how my enemies have increased, and how fiercely they hate me.
Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you.
May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you.
May the Lord add understanding to the reading of his word. 1 John 1, 5 through 7 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Amen."
Let us all stand now as we stand before God Almighty and affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning from the New Testament comes from Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Father, now enter our hearts and our minds. Open our spirits to receive your word, which you have prepared through your servant. For we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Have you ever said, "Boy, I hope I get a good night's sleep tonight"? Have you ever said, if you were a student or a teacher, "Boy, I hope it snows tomorrow"? Have you ever wished someone well as they're about to go on a trip and say, "I hope you have a great vacation"? Those are trivial uses of a great word, hope. Because the theological definition of the word hope is so much more wonderful than that. And that's why we're having a three-part sermon on the three greatest virtues, faith, hope, and love, as taught to us by the Apostle Paul. Last week, of course, was faith, and this week it is hope. I want to give you a dictionary definition of the word hope. Listen to this. The dictionary says, hope is a feeling that what is wanted will happen. Hope is to want and to expect something very much. Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy definition of hope. Theologically, the word hope means to trust that what God says is true. What a big difference. The dictionary has a pitiful footnote to its definition. Listen to this. The footnote says that an archaic definition of hope is to trust or rely upon something or someone. There is nothing archaic about hope according to the theology that we believe in. The hope that we have. Oh, what did we just read in the scripture? Or R.B. just read in the scripture. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Nothing archaic. One of the literal definitions of the word hope in the Old Testament, the word butai, is to be full of confidence. Full of confidence. Sounds like faith, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like faith. What is your definition of hope in these sentences that I'm about to share with you? When I'm sick, I hope I will get well. When I'm dying, I hope it is peaceful. When I go on a trip, I hope I will be safe. When I invest my money in the stocks, I hope they'll go up. You hope, you hope, you hope, and lots of things over which you have no control. But God says in his kingdom, you can be confident. There, that is the true meaning of hope. That is real hope. God said it. That settles it. You can take a stamp and you can say, guaranteed, that is hope. Psalm 25, which we read earlier, verses 2 through 3. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. Psalm 42, 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 62, verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. The psalmist said it over and over and over that you can have confidence in hope. You can have confidence in the promises of God. God was and God is always a God of hope. Psalm 33, beginning in verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. Hallelujah. That's why Isaiah said in chapter 26, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. But false hope entered into the history of God's chosen people, and it continues right here into this room, into that seat that you're sitting in right here today. People lose hope, and to not have hope is to live in hopelessness. The psalmist cried out, some trust, this is false hope, some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, by saying the name of the Lord our God, what they're really saying is we trust in the attributes of the Lord our God. What are some of the attributes of God the Father? Tell me, when I say, what comes to your mind in single words? What comes to your mind if you were to try to describe the attributes of God? What are some of the words that you would share? Let me hear them. That's what you trust in. That's what you trust in. That's the attributes of God. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we're praying according to the attributes of Jesus. There are bushels and volumes of stories about God's people trusting in weapons of war, in wealth, and even in idols, rather than trusting in the one who brought them through the wilderness, who parted the sea for them, who delivered them into the Holy Land. The prophets warned them repeatedly. The prophets were sometimes doomsayers, but they were truthful, and they warned them. They heard from Amos and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and many others, reprimanding them for their loss of hope. But even these doomsayers gave them this wonderful message from God, which is in Jeremiah 29:11. And this is a verse that many of us love. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. We all love that verse, don't we? But you know what? We take it out of context. You know what that verse is talking about? God is promising his people a new covenant yet to come, a new relationship between him and the people through Jesus Christ. That's true hope. And that brings us to the New Testament. As Christians, we have a life in Christ. We talked about sanctification being a part, being a process. Well, the life in Christ is a process. First, there's faith in him. Faith is the key that unlocks a door called hope. And when that door is open, it results in our loving him, having love for him, and his having love for us. Faith leads to hope, and hope leads to love. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. The result of letting go of hope is to be in a state of grief. What state are you in? Are you in a state of hope right now, or are you in a state of hopelessness right now? As you think about the circumstances of your life, as you think about your body, your aging, aching body, as you think about your finances, as you think about your family, your children, your grandchildren, your job, your finances. What state are you in? Are you in a state of hope or hopelessness? Hope looks for the good. Hope opens doors. Hope doesn't grumble about what cannot be, but rests on what can be. Hope doesn't curse the darkness, but hope lights a candle so that you can see the path God has for you. Hope doesn't yield to criticism. To have hope is to see your problems as opportunities. Do you have hope? You know what? You can't work for it. You can't buy it. You can't just change your attitude and say, I now I've obtained hope. No, you can't do that. You know what? I have news for you. You have hope. And why do I say that? Because you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Assuming that's true, you've given your life to Jesus Christ. And you know what he gave you? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into you. You know what comes with the Holy Spirit? Not baggage, luggage. Gifts and fruit. And all the gifts and all the fruit of the Holy Spirit live in you. And one of those is hope. It's what you do with the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit that matters. How do you deal with it? What do you do with that? Colossians 1:27, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you. Let it out. Let it live. Don't put a cap on him. That's why the Presbyterians have that silly reputation for being frozen chosen. Presbyterians are, we like things to be decent and in order. And thank God we're not Presbyterians here. We're not Methodists. We're not Episcopalians. We're not any of those things that bind us. We're Christians. We're the body of Christ who lives in us. And you know what? You may discover you have gifts you didn't know that God wants you to let out and let live. Someone once said that life with Christ is endless hope. Life without him is a hopeless end. I like that. Someone said this, he who lives with hope dances without a fiddle. See that picture? There was a great artist, he was a painter, and someone came to him and they said, tell me, what do you think is the best picture you have ever painted? And he thought about it and he said, the next one. He was a person who lived with hope. He looked to the future and not to the back. He was energized by the future. Even some non-Christians can live with that kind of optimism. Their attitude of hope goes something like this. The best car hasn't been built yet. The final cure has not yet been discovered. The safest plane has not yet been produced. The best song has not yet been written. The best product is not yet on the market. The best church has never been grown. The best sales presentation has never been perfected. The best class hasn't been taught. The best is yet to be. Hope. That's how some people who are not even Christians live their life. Let me ask you, for those of us who have hope itself living in us, how much more optimistic should we be about this life where we live? Let me see you dance without a fiddle. But the truth is, sometimes we lose hope. Just like the people in the Bible, we lose hope. God never loses hope. Look at the story of the prodigal son. God didn't lose hope. But we do lose hope. We lay aside and we allow life and the circumstances of life to overwhelm us. When you allow hopelessness to overtake your life, you are slamming a door in God's face. How dare you? How arrogant? How insolent? Sometimes we lose hope because the devil is working on us. Sometimes we lose hope for a different reason. Let me illustrate it by a man who was suffering from dizzy spells, terrible dizzy spells. He couldn't drive his car. He was missing work. He was very worried, so he went from doctor to doctor, and the doctors could not find the cause of this symptom, this dizziness, and he began to lose hope. And so he began to get stressed, and then he began to lose weight, and he couldn't sleep, and he became a nervous wreck. And finally, he decided, I am never going to recover from this dizziness. So he decided to prepare for the worst. He made out a will. He took care of a cemetery plot. He made arrangements with the undertaker. He even went to a men's clothing store and was measured to get a whole new suit of clothes for his burial. He got the coat and the pants, and he got socks and shoes, getting ready for his coffin, and he said, I'd even like a new shirt. And he said, yes, sir. And he said, size 15 neck, size 35 sleeves. And he said, 15 neck, sir? He said, no, sir. He said, you wear a 16. He said, no, I've worn a 15 for a long time. He said, sir, if you wear 15, you'll get dizzy spells. Sometimes we have a feeling of hopelessness, and it's our own fault. I want to close by telling you an inspiring story about a man named Edward Mote. Edward Mote lived in London in the 1700s. Sadly, his parents were very ungodly people. They ran a pub where there was a great deal of drinking and some other activities that took place there. They were busy day and night. So little Edward didn't have much relationship with his parents. He was a very neglected child. He found himself playing in the streets all the time. He never entered a church. The school that he attended did not allow a Bible to be discussed or even visible or taught. He later wrote about his childhood, and he said, I didn't even know that there was a God. Isn't that sad? As a teenager, Edward Mote served as an apprentice to a carpenter, and he developed a wonderful skill for life. At the age of 16, that carpenter took him to hear a famous preacher by the name of John Hyatt at the Tottenham Court Chapel. Well, Edward heard things about Jesus Christ that he had never known, about God that he had never known. He was so excited by this presentation that he gave his life to Jesus Christ that night at the age of 16. And his whole life changed. His whole attitude about life changed. And for the next 37 years, working as a carpenter, he had within him a burning, growing desire to become a preacher. Now, there was a Baptist congregation in Sussex, England, and they wanted a new church building. And they heard that this guy was a wonderful carpenter. So they approached him and asked for his help. And largely because of his assistance, the building became a reality. Out of tremendous gratitude to him, you know what they offered him? They said, we want to thank you by giving you the deed to this property. And he said, no, I don't want the chapel. I want the pulpit. If you will allow me to be in the pulpit, you may keep your deed, and when I cease to preach Jesus Christ, you can turn me out. So at the age of 55, Edward started preaching, and he didn't miss a Sunday for 22 years until he died. And he's buried in the cemetery of that little chapel in Sussex. And on the grave marker, it says this, in loving memory of Mr. Edward Mote, who fell asleep in Jesus November 13, 1874, age 77 years. for 22 years the beloved pastor of this church, preaching Christ and Him crucified as all the sinner can need and all the saint desires. Now, before he became a preacher, during those years that he knew Christ and was still a carpenter, he started writing poems and hymns. In fact, he wrote over 100 hymn texts. One day he was walking to work to the carpenter shop, and he had an idea for a hymn. And he got to the shop, and he quickly wrote down the hymn. That afternoon, a friend of his came by the carpenter shop and said, "Edward, my wife is gravely ill, and she is dying. Would you consider coming by this afternoon when you're off of work and just visiting with her and tell her goodbye?" He said, I would be honored to do that. So when he came to visit her, he remembered the poem that he had written, and he took it out of his pocket, and he gave it to her, and they read it together. And she was so moved by it, she said, "Oh, Edward, can I keep this?" And he said, "Of course, you can keep this. It's yours." He gave it to her. He got home, and he thought, you know, if this little poem meant so much to this dying woman, maybe I should make copies of it, and I should give it as a gift to people. So he did. He had it printed. He didn't even put his name on it. It was an anonymous poem, and he gave it away, and he forgot all about it. Many years later, someone published a hymnal of anonymous hymns. And there in this book was published Edward Mote's little song. When he saw it, he reclaimed it, and he put his title, his name on the title. And the title, by the way, was rather lofty. The title of the hymn was this: "The Immutable Basis of a Sinner's Hope." We sang it this morning. The hymn begins like this: "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Now, one of the other verses that we sang admits that holding on to hope is not always easy. It says, "When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil." That's right, sometimes we can't see Jesus. Sometimes in the midst of dark circumstances, we are overwhelmed. We need to remind ourselves that God never changes. He is the solid rock. We have hope. Sometimes life throws storms at us, and then we need an anchor to hold us steady, an anchor of God's word to hold us steady. Now, there are two hymn tunes that are used for this great hymn, which is now known by the title, "The Solid Rock." "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." The other hymn tune is called "Melita," and it was written by John B. Dykes. And this hymn tune was used for the Navy hymn, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." And I believe it brings greater dignity to the words. Listen. "His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Sing those lines with me. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gift of faith. We thank you for your gift of love. And today we thank you for your gift of hope. For hope does not disappoint us. Lord, some of us need to grow that gift. It needs to be nurtured and watered and fed and expanded so that life's circumstances will not overwhelm us, so that we do not lose sight of you. Oh God, I pray for my brothers and sisters, as I pray for myself, that you will increase our hope, our confidence, that you said it and that settles it, guaranteed. To that we say hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, amen. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.